You're going to be rewarded big time for joining us in the trenches with Dave Lappin, brought to you by First Star Logistics, coming to you from our awesome studios as usual, because Solomon Wilcots joins us today. Football savant, former safety with the Cincinnati Bengals. We talked to him about the two safeties the Bengals got in free agency. Now a broadcaster extraordinaire on multiple levels. So he follows the National Football League as closely as anybody. We talk about the Bengals free agent signings. We talk about the upcoming draft. We talk about what the Bengals should try to do from a structure or offensively with Joe Burrow and all the weapons that might be afforded to him when all is said and done in free agency in the draft. Bottom line, simply said, Solomon Wilcots knows his football. You're going to like it. Appreciate you carving time out of your busy day to join us in the trenches with Dave Lappin, brought to you by First Star Logistics, coming to you as always from our outstanding studios that First Star Logistics provides to us. And we are joined by, in my mind, this guy is, there's not anybody that I think I could call upon to have the broadest base knowledge of football at any level of football than this guy. Solomon Wilcots, man. He played at a high level. He's his broadcasting expertise is outstanding. It continues to be so. This guy is a football savant. Let's put it that way. And when I want to think about, okay, here we go. The combine's done. Veteran free agency. We're rolling back into the regular season. Catch up with Solly. Solly, welcome, my man.
Dave, you're too kind. I was listening to the introduction, then thought about myself and wondered who you were talking about, but I appreciate it.
You're the best, Solly. I swear, man. I love talking football with Solomon Wilcots. It's always a lot of fun.
Thank you.
What's your knee-jerk reaction, first blush? You know, the Bengals veteran free agency here did some things. What impressed you most, Solly?
Well, there are a lot of things, right? And yeah. I think it starts with, you know, you and I, we've been around this team for a long time, and we've seen the organization grow. And, you know, as I have sort of been talking to people around town, and I make sure that I'm pointing out a lot of the positive things that I'm seeing. And, you know, when you hear that the Bengals outbid the Dallas Cowboys for running back Zach Moss, that yeah. they outbid the Houston Texans, right, for Sheldon Rankins. That tells you how the Bengals are operating. This is a new day, I think, for the Cincinnati Bengals and their organization. I think it's been that way for the last several years. But, you know, Duke Tobin continues to do a wonderful job of identifying the talent. And then, obviously, Katie and Troy and Mike and the negotiators, the deals that they can put together that are very competitive. I do believe that, you know, having a Joe Burrow as your quarterback, it kind of, you know, it's a tiebreaker, right? It's like players want to get the most money out of these deals, but they want to go places where they can win. They want to go to teams where they know they're going to be competing year in and year out. And I think in that sense, Joe Burrow, he helps to tip the scale. But, you know, it's clear that the Bengals loosened the purse strings. They've yeah. done that repeatedly to rebuild an offensive line. And I think when you talk at least about those two players, Zach Moss and Sheldon Rankins, we have to be very impressed what they were able to pull off. We came close to not getting them. Think about what we would be talking about now had we not gotten those players. But the Bengals did get them, and that speaks well of who they are as an organization.
And boy, I haven't lost Joe Mixon, who obviously – a team favorite, a leader in the locker room, a fan favorite amongst Bengal Nation. I mean, he had great years with the Cincinnati Bengals. But Zach Moss comes in. He is a perfect fit, in my opinion, watching him on tape, inside, outside zone, gap yeah. stuff that Frank Pollock wants to do. Yeah. A match made in heaven behind that offensive line with Trent Brown signed, 6'8", 350-plus pound guys, you know, the twin Brown towers. You got four Super Bowl winners amongst the five starters in the offensive line. Four guys have won Super Bowls with other organizations, hopefully win another one here. But, man, to put that together, I think it's going to be pretty impressive. I think Zach Moss is going to have a heck of a run.
Zach Moss is a talented player. This is a kid, you know, he's from South Florida. And, you know, when, you know, I looked at when the University of Utah kind of got it going, right? Over the years they got it going, all those guys were from South Florida. And Zach Moss, Jalen Johnson, the cornerback with the Chicago Bears, Tyler Huntley, right? The backup had been the backup quarterback with the Baltimore Ravens. He's now signed with the Cleveland Browns. Those guys were all at the University of Utah together when you saw that program elevated, and they were winning Pac-12 championships, right? And so Zach Moss is not just some any guy. This is a guy that has been part of real strong programs since he was playing football, going back to his college days at Utah when he first came into the league. You know, he was nicked up in that first year with the Buffalo Bills, but then you saw what he did at the end of his term with the Bills and then with the Indianapolis Colts. And so he can run it, he can catch it, and he's really good in pass protection. And I think that's where we might see even more benefits in that area of his game.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, he does the blue-collar stuff, man. Yep. He'll get his nose dirty. I mean, talking with him, he was an inside linebacker in high school until his senior year when he was a running back, linebacker, two-way guy. They took the inside linebacker responsibility away, and he had that huge senior year that catapulted him to you know, Florida and then Utah. Dennis Erickson, that was the connection. That's when Dennis Erickson kind of – he was recruiting all those Florida kids. He went to Utah and took a lot of them with him and everything. But, I mean, this kid now – I mean, he'll stick his nose in there. He's a tough son of a gun. Yeah. He'll do the dirty work. I really do. I really like him. That's a huge signing. Now, in my mind, Solly, you were as intelligent a safety and football player as I'd met when you were playing with the Cincinnati Bengals. And I watched the relationship develop between Solomon Wilcott's player and Dick LeBeau, coach, that was trust, love, respect, all of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching the Bengals re-sign Von Bell and his relationship with Lou Anarumo, trust, love, respect. I mean, I see a lot of analogy there between you and Dick LeBeau and Von Bell and Lou Anarumo. I think it's unbelievably strong that they're back together. I think it's going to be hugely productive, man.
You know, I think it's important. I think you defined it perfectly. I think we're very fortunate to get them back.
Yeah,
I remember when Von Bell and Jesse Bates left last year. I was very, I was crestfallen, to be honest with you, because I knew that there was going to be some growing pains there. I even underestimated how bad it would be, but so it turned out to be worse than I originally thought, because when you lose that connectivity, the ability to share a brain with your coordinator and players that can carry out what the defensive coordinator wants on the field and be really good communicators, making sure things are getting done the way the coaches want. And really, when you have a young secondary, you need a veteran that can say, hey, guys, we got to do these things. These are the things that we need to do during the week of preparation. And then when you're on the field during the games, the communication's got to be really strong. And I think we were missing that, particularly in the first half of the season.
Yeah.
And not to mention, I think you need to know this about Von Bell. This guy, he's a tone setter. He's a physical player. Now he's a great tackler, but more importantly, he knows how football games are won and lost in that real critical moments when things need to take place. And you remember, I think his first year here, I often cite this game because they were playing, I think it was a Monday night game in Pittsburgh, and the Bengals didn't have much to play for. Joe Burrow, that was his rookie year. He was injured. He was out. So they went up there, and it was a game that no one expected the Bengals to win. It was sort of at the end of the year. It was in December, and Von Bell started to lay hits on Pittsburgh Steelers receivers that today they would outlaw. I mean, this wasn't even that long ago. These were legal, competitive, physical hits. And for the first time, I think we saw the worm turn on a rivalry between the Steelers and Bengals that the Steelers, let's be honest, had sort of dominated for an extended period of time, right? We saw debacles in playoff games that saw them walk away with a win that really they should not have won it. But I think that all changed. I think the rivalry changed in that game when Von Bell sort of set a tone and a tempo and a mindset for how he was going to play. And from that day till now, the Bengals defense has had a sense of physicality that we have seen them grow and become much better at being more physical and more dominant and more consistent on defense. And I think all because of his presence. And at the end of the day, we lost some of that last year. We gave up more big plays than we had given up maybe in the last half dozen years.
Yep. On
the defensive side of the ball. I think that's what it means to have him back. I can't overstate this. I think it's that important. And that's why when he became available, I think the Bengals were going to do everything they could to get him back. And it also adds to it that the Panthers are going to pay most of his salary for him to wear Bengals stripes. I think that's a double win.
No question. I mean, the Panthers are paying him to be a Bengal. I mean, it's great.
That's right.
It's great. But I agree with you. I remember that game you're talking about. And then, you know, I met with Von Bell here. We did a podcast after his signing, and the hit on Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, when he was dancing on the logo, you know, the hit, and then the pick, the shoestring interception that he made, you know, that those two plays, you know, ring in my mind over and over again, and having him back. And then to get Geno Stone from Baltimore, who this guy, man, he's got a football IQ. I mean, everybody that I talk to, smart as a whip, can make all the calls, great ball skills. Yep. 7 interceptions, number 2 in the NFL, led the AFC. I mean, he got one of Joe Burrow's very rare red zone interceptions. Joe Burrow has left a handful of those in his whole career, you know?
That's right.
Get him as well, Solly. How big is that?
Look, I've been a fan of Geno. I was shocked when he was a 7th-round pick coming out of Iowa. I tend to like those players coming out of Kurt Ferentz's program because I know they're well-taught, fundamentally sound. He's just another one of those players. And this is going back to the days. Remember, Bob Sanders came out of those programs. You know, we have Micah Hyde was another guy. Remember, Micah Hyde played at Iowa. He was defensive player of the year in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And I remember he went to Green Bay, and a good friend of mine was the defensive back coach at Green Bay at the time when they let him go play for the Buffalo Bills. I said, what are you guys doing? How can you let Micah Hyde, you know, hit the free agent market? And I remember him, he was lamenting the same as I was. I have no stake in what the Packers are doing. I just was a big fan of Micah Hyde since he had played at Iowa. And it was the same. I felt the same way about Geno Stone when he was there, and very much surprised when he was a 7th-round pick. I wasn't surprised when I saw him picking off all those passes last year and leading the team in interceptions. Do you know that the Cincinnati Bengals, Baltimore Ravens, the Pittsburgh Steelers and Cleveland Browns, all 4 teams in the AFC North 1 year ago in 2023 ranked right in the top 6 of total takeaways.
Wow.
I mean, they ranked right up there at the top of the board. And I think the Bengals were just one shy from being in the top 5, right behind, I think, the Cleveland Browns or the Steelers. But that's how good this division is, and that's how good the defenses are when it comes to taking the ball away. Yeah. So to go over to the Baltimore Ravens and get Geno Stone and bring him over to the Bengals, that's huge. Not only does it hurt the Ravens, it should help the Bengals defense in spade. And I think with Geno Stone and Von Bell playing together on the back end as starting safeties, I'm telling you, it's going to really help us tremendously above and beyond what we saw 1 year ago.
You know, it's amazing. You have great players coming back together as teammates, Orlando Brown, Geno Stone playing together at Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Ted Karras playing with Trent Brown, who they just, you know, signed, playing in New England, winning Super Bowls. The amazing thing to me, Solly, 4 of the Bengals' 5 starters in the offensive line, projected starters, all Super Bowl winners, you know, with different organizations, but all Super Bowl winners. And that's what you're playing for is the ring, man. And 4 of those 5 guys have got one. You know, Volson hadn't been in the league long enough to get one. He's been with the Bengals. But, I mean, getting there, you know, it's amazing. And then look at this one. Sheldon Rankins, like your take on him, but Sheldon Rankins played in the Saints with Von Bell and Trey Hendrickson. Those 3 guys all played together down in New Orleans.
They're
on playoff teams. I'd like your opinion on Rankins. Also like your opinion on when you reunite with former teammates where you had that kind of success and you try to, you know, run it back, that's a big deal, isn't it?
It really is. You know what it's about? It's about trust, right? It really is. Yeah. Yes, they were former teammates, but it was more important that they were former teammates who won a lot of games together. They won and participated in a lot of big games together. Yep. That's where those bonds are formed. Winning matters in this league, as you well know. And to be in a place where you have won, you've won in big games, and you walk into another locker room, the other players even know who you are. You know, I remember when I left here in Cincinnati, I went to Minnesota, went to Pittsburgh. When I walked into those locker rooms, I was surprised. Most of those guys knew me. Most of those guys were happy to see me come and join their football team.
Yep.
It's not easy if you're a Bengal and you walk in a Steelers locker room. But if they respected how you went about playing and how you went about your work, I'm telling you, it's easy. That's the same way many of the Bengals players felt, about some of the guys who came over to play here for the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, so when you're changing teams and you've been playing in some very important games and you were playing in those big games and you were winning together and you were part of successful moments, people can't wait to welcome you into their locker room. And I know that's what Trent Brown is feeling right now. Clearly, that's what Geno Stone is feeling. I'm sure Joe Burrow is going to walk across the locker room and shake his hand, right? And say, glad to see you here instead of patrolling the secondary on the other side of the field.
Right. To take a division rival, take an opponent from that division rival is big. There's no question. Sheldon Rankins, I mean, what he can give you on the interior as a pass rusher is invaluable, isn't it, Solly?
I love Sheldon Rankins. Watched him everywhere he's been, you know, I've watched him dominate. You know, it's funny, you know, look, I'm not happy that the money is coming out of the safety's pocket. We've seen a lot of these safeties hit the free agent market and being released because of the high contracts that they're getting.
Right.
But I said a lot of that money is going directly to the interior guys on the defensive line. And I'm not so sure that I can argue against it, to be honest with you. And Sheldon Rankins is one of those players. We all saw what Aaron Donald has done over his 10-year career. He's now retired. And that, I think his play has made NFL owners, head coaches, and general managers look more at these interior defensive linemen who can change the game, who can wreck the game for offenses. They are closest to the quarterback. They're aligned in an immediate position that if they can split the guard tackle gap or the center guard gap, they're right in the quarterback's face. They can impact and destroy what offenses are trying to do so much easier than a guy who's sitting on the edge, who the teams can scheme him out of being an impact player. They can run away from him, but it's hard to get away from that interior defensive lineman like a Sheldon Rankins, who is so disruptive. He's so quick off the ball. He's good with his hands. Look, I got to tell you, he wrecked our game earlier this year when the Houston Texans came here to Paycor Stadium, and they beat us in that game on that Sunday. And I'm telling you, I left there very much impressed with Sheldon Rankins and with the way they controlled and won the line of scrimmage against our offensive line, who I'm thinking is pretty good. So that tells you, I think he caught the eyes of the Cincinnati Bengals. There's no doubt about it from how he played, not only in that game, but just how he's played over the course of his career.
He had three sacks of his six on the season. He had three in that football game against the Bengals, and he'll tell you he could have had two more. He could have had a five sack day. I mean, he's going against Kappa, pretty good player. You know, he's having a pretty good year. So, I mean, it's like, hey, can't beat him. Have him join us. You know, I mean, that's a pretty good signing right there.
Yeah.
You know, I look at how the Bengals have evolved in that regard. And let Trent Brown, here's a big guy, 6'8", 370. Watching him one-on-one pass rush, I mean, he is as talented as anybody in taking away the difference maker on the edge. And with, you know, T.J. Watt, you know, and Myles Garrett and people like that, to get a guy where you don't have to necessarily slow block with the tight end or slide all the way to the tackle. You have that eraser, that big old beast like that. That's a big deal. And like we, you know, the old commercial, the UPS commercial, what can Brown do for you? You got a Brown in the backfield. You got Tim Power Brown's a tackle. Brown can do a lot for the Bengals, man. I mean,
oh my goodness. Think about, you know, Orlando Brown. When he came, we just thought he was huge. Look at this big left tackle. We got this guy's bigger. Trent Brown's bigger. You know, 6'8", 350 plus. I'm going to just stop at 350. You and I both know he's bigger than.
Right.
mean, think about the Cincinnati Bengals now getting off the bus when you're getting ready to play them.
Exactly.
Arguably, I think they have the largest offensive line in football now. And look, it ought to help us to generate run game. It should help us to be able to dominate the line of scrimmage. More importantly, it should help us to be able to protect our quarterback in Joe Burrow. But look, we play in the AFC North. You know this, Dave. It's a physical division. You've got to be able to win and dominate the line of scrimmage. And you're talking about blocking guys and neutralizing guys like T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, Miles Garrett, Justin Mudabuke.
Yeah.
You got to say the name correctly. Yep. Mudabuke. Good player for the Baltimore Ravens. Everyone in this division can get after your quarterback. You better have some guys who can neutralize them. And I think we've built this offensive line in a way that it's going to give us some staying power. I love to see us even add maybe a younger guy to that rotation because, look, Trent Brown's a phenomenal player. The Patriots signed him twice. Belichick wanted him twice. Even after he left, wanted to bring him back.
Right.
He's that good of a player. He's as good as he wants to be. And I just think we have all the makings to having a dominant and very physical offensive line. And I haven't been able to say that in a long time, Dave.
I hear you, Solly. And, you know, I agree with you. I think it doesn't rule out, you know, taking an offensive tackle at 18 in my mind, because you look at the contracts. Trent Brown, 1-year contract. I mean, guys are signing for a year, 2 years, 3 years max. So what the Bengals are doing is they got these veterans, you know, that have been in the league for a while, and they're signing to short-term deals. Now, you don't have any holes necessarily in the draft. You have to immediately plug draft a guy and plug him and play him. Mm-hmm. If he's capable, great. But if he's not, don't force it. So now you got a guy for a year or two, okay, draft and develop a guy and, you know, slide that guy in there, maybe move a guy along, whatever the case may be. I think that they're structuring how they're doing their roster and building that roster on a year-by-year basis very intelligently with their contracts with those veterans. And, okay, the last time they were forced to draft a position,
it
didn't work out. Billy Price at the center position, they had to draft, didn't work out. Make it where drafting the best available player, not because of a desperate need. They got their perceived holes filled and move along that way. And let me ask you about the tight end position, Solly. A couple of weeks ago, they didn't have a tight end signed. Now they got Drew Sample signed, you know, re-upped. Here's a guy at the end of the line of scrimmage, really good blocker, off the hip of the quarterback, good blocker, blitz pickup, and can run routes and catch the football. And then they signed Tanner Hudson to a 1-year contract.
Yeah.
And here's a guy that can run routes, can detach, run routes. And all. And then in free agency, they go get Mike Gesicki, who is 6'6", 250 pounds. You played strong safety, Solly. What about these tight ends, man? I mean, how good are these tight ends?
Tall trees, man. They've got a tremendous pass-catching radius. You know, Hudson, I think, showed us something last year that that guy can play. He's a good football player. I love what he brought to the team last year. And Mike Gesicki is a guy that, I was years ago, his final year at Penn State, I'd just go up to watch Ohio State play. In that game, he's a teammate of Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley runs back the opening kickoff, right? We knew we were in for a game, but I watched Gesicki be the guy. He was, you know, he and Saquon Barkley, these were the guys on that offensive football team that kind of fueled the engine. Really good player. He's got some nuance to him when it comes to route running. He's got a good feel for how to win against coverage. He's basically your slot receiver to the opposite side of your two wide receiver side. And he's going to be able to beat most linebackers and safeties in coverage.
Yep.
That's how good he is. You don't want to have to put a nickel corner on him because he's so big that he can just kind of wall you off and still make the catches. And he's got enough to be able to get deep down the middle of the field. At the end of the day, you want to be able to win over the middle of the field. You get that done with big body wide receivers like a T. Higgins, who's so good at running those slant routes and winning over the middle, getting across the face of the safety. But you have to be able to do it on the other side with your tight ends as well. We saw Tanner Hudson do that last year on a consistent basis. I mean, he was really good at it. And Gesicki gives them another player who can do that. So being able to win over the middle of the field, what does that do? I think it opens it up on the outside for guys like Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. But you have to win over the middle of the field. It's so hard to be able to do it, and it takes a rare special player to go into the middle where it gets very physical, as you well know, to be able to win those contested catches on a regular basis.
In my mind, though, if our boy from Georgia, Bowers, is there at 18, bingo. I mean, we did a podcast. You were outstanding, Solly. That was an unbelievable podcast. I still take that big dog now. I mean, if he slides somehow to 18, yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody. It's an early present.
I'm salivating. And look, I say it like this because I know I'm having talks with guys. They're like, I don't know that tight ends are going that high. I'm like, this is no average tight end.
Right.
You know, this is like when you say we don't take running backs in the first round. Yeah, but you're going to take a Bijan Robinson. You're going to take a Jahmyr Gibbs, right? Like, this is a player who's not literally defined by the position.
Right.
And you have to understand that. He's so multiple in his skill set. He's got speed. He's got power. He can block. He can be your inline guy. He can be detached. He can line up in the backfield for you. He's a multifaceted player with multiple skill set. So you don't just define him as a tight end. But I will tell you this. Imagine Tom Brady had his Rob Gronkowski. Patrick Mahomes has his Travis Kelce. When are we going to get one from Joe Burrow? When are we going to get him a guy who can win and dominate over the middle of the field? Because I think that Brock Bowers is that guy that would give them another explosive playmaker on offense, but the ability to consistently win over the middle of the field. And at the end of the day, think about his production. Your top tight ends in this league, like a Kelce, if they get 90 catches, 900 yards or 1,000 yards, isn't that similar to what you expect from wide receiver number two? Yeah. So same production.
Right on.
Same production. But if I were to read to you what we're paying the wide receiver on the franchise tag and what we're paying the tight end on the franchise tag, we're talking $10 million apart. So if you're paying a wide receiver at the top of the market for the same production as a tight end, you'd probably rather get that production from a tight end. If he can give that to you, I believe Brock Bowers can.
So the Bengals now have 10 draft picks. They get another seventh with the Joe Mixon trade. Mm-hmm. The compensatory picks are a third rounder and a sixth rounder. So you give them 10 now. They have four picks in the top 97. The one compensatory in the third round is number 97. If Bowers is there, you know, past like number 12, 13, and you wonder, does he get there to 18? Would you use some of that draft capital, Solly, to move up? Or would you say, I'll let it fall. If he's not there at 18, I'll get my offensive talent. I'll get the best player available. Do you just play best player available? Or do you say, that guy is more special than best player available. I might have to move for him.
I would be tempted to try to get ahead of the Colts at 15.
Yeah.
But I think because this is such a offensive lineman rich draft, I'm going to be very disciplined this year. And I'm going to say, look, if Brock Bowers is there at 18, you know, and I'm still going to have to think about it. Depends on, you know, what we're looking at with these offensive tackles, because right. You and I both know, we're going to be right back here next year needing another tackle, right?
Right.
We're going to be right here. And you could almost have him a year early to have depth and to get him ready. So I'm leaning at the tackle position. Brock Bowers is there at 19. I'm going to have a strong conversation because touchdowns matter, right? And maybe I can get my lineman in the second round. Yeah. So, but I don't know that I want to have to move up to go get him. But I'm going to be very tempted, to be honest with you. That's going to be a strong temptation, but probably going to have to practice some discipline there, only because I see a strong need for offensive linemen, and this is a draft that's rich with offensive linemen.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, I look at it, I'm like, all eight draft picks made the roster last year, and they all had roles and expanded upon those roles.
Yeah.
Can 10 more make it this year after eight making it last year? So, I mean, I have some capital to spend. Do I spend a lot of it early, you know, try to move up in that first round? Or do I tweak it, you know, in some other rounds where, oh, boy, there some of the offensive, there's a running offensive lineman. Let me package and move up here in round three, make sure I get one. I mean, I think they're in a pretty good position with the draft capital they've got and what they've done in free agency. I'm looking forward to what they do in the draft. I think, as usual, as you make mention of, Duke Tobin and his staff and the coach have done a hell of a job.
But when you let your imagination run wild of what could this offense do with Brock Bowers in it, when you are when you have a Jamar Chase and a T. Higgins, right? And you have a Chase Brown and a Zach Moss in the backfield. Because to me, it's about stressing defenses with as many explosive players as you can get. And you got, and the tight end is sort of that Swiss Army knife that really takes offenses to another level. It's much harder to get wide receivers the ball outside the numbers. You got to move a guy in at the slot receiver. He becomes the guy that you can all but bet you can scheme him the ball.
Right.
The outside guys just got to win.
Right.
But when you have a tight end who's working also inside with that slot receiver, it's all day. That's why, Travis Kelce's numbers are consistent year in, year out. You get an offensive coordinator like Andy Reid who's got some creativity to him. No defense can really stop you from getting him the ball if you have any threat on the outside. So I just think that I allow my imagination to run wild. Just if the Bengals had one player like that to go along with the guys they already have, that would be taking this offense next level. It really would.
No doubt about it, Solly. Man, I've kept you longer than I promised. I always do, because when we start talking football,
I know, right?
You are pure gold, my man. I mean, it's like 16, 18 karat gold, man.
Thank you. It is pure
gold is what it is.
So I appreciate you, Dave.
Man, I can't thank you enough. This was a blast. I mean, I enjoyed the heck out of it and look forward to doing it again. And give everybody an idea of what you're doing and how you're doing it. I mean, you're all over the media world, stud.
Well, you know, every morning I'm, you know, right here in my office here at home. And in Anderson Township, I love this part of our town. And but I'm hosting a show on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Right. You can listen to it on Sirius XM NFL Channel 88. This is the opening drive. We're on from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. You know, last week I took a little time off because I had to go to Rice University, where they're building out the Texas Medical Center. Huh. And they've got more money than they've got oil. And let me tell you, it was a phenomenal facility. You know, I'm really big on medical innovation, where I'm really fortunate to be able to work with some very smart and talented people. We try to build campaigns that use athletes to get the message out. So we're working with some really talented people in Houston, Texas, to bring more attention to the work that's taking place there. So that's work that I also enjoy on a daily basis.
You're the man, Solly. I'll tell you, not just football IQ, overall IQ. You're a smart man. You're a hell of an athlete. You're gifted, my man, in Cincinnati and in Bengals Nation, and everybody's proud that you're a part of it, man, big time. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate you, Dave. Take care. All the best.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team.
ding.